Isaiah chapter 58, I'll start from there. What I want to teach today, I'm titling it The Fasted Life. What did I call it? The Fasted Life. And I taught something like this some time ago. It's titled The Fast of God, under our Living the Godly Life series. I'm sure what I'm going to say today, I can't remember exactly what I said then, but I'm sure they're going to be very similar. But we can't say these things enough, all right? It's important we understand it. All right, Isaiah chapter 58. Let me start reading from verse 1. Where I'm reading is very long, so I'm going to jump a few verses. All right? From verse 1, it says, "Cry loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet, and declare to my people their transgression, and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day, and delight to know my ways." That's what they claim. That's in verse 2. "As a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God, they ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God." That is, that's what they are looking for. They want God to intervene on their behalf. They want the power of God manifested in their lives. And now this is what they say when they don't experience that. In verse 3, he says, "Why have we fasted and thou dost not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and thou dost not notice?" Now that's what they were complaining about, that we have fasted, please notice that, and God is not responding. We have humbled ourselves and God does not take any notice. He said, behold, this is the answer that God is giving them. This is the problem. On the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked feast, that is a product of your fast. You do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast like this which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? Please notice something. The fast they were practicing is a day, all right? They choose a particular season, they choose a particular time, and they do this religious activity. God says, is it for the bowing, for bowing one's head like a reed? Is that the fast I've chosen, he was saying, and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? He said now, verse 6, is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen, now notice something, he didn't say a day, he said to loosen the bonds of wickedness. That is, the fast I'm choosing is not a matter of a day or a season, but this is a fast that I have chosen. To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke. Is it not, that is my fast not to divide your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Now if you do all these things, he said in verse 8, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth. Now, notice earlier, they were looking for this light and this recovery, and they fasted to get it. And they now said, we have fasted, and God did not notice, in verse 3, and we have humbled ourselves, and God did not notice, all right? Now, God said, that thing you are looking for, if you do the proper thing, verse 8, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth. And your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Now, this is the result. Then you will call, without having to punish yourself, and choose a day to bow down your head, and choosing a day to go hungry, and to be in difficulty. On that day you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and before you begin to punish yourself, he will say, here I am. Now this you will experience if you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness. And if you give yourself to the hungry, and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, he said, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you, and satisfy your desire in scorched places, and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will raise up the age-old foundations. and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Now, let me just read verses 13 and 14. I'll rush through this because of time. If because of the Sabbath you turn your fruit from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor it, this is how you honor the Sabbath, by desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will delight in the Lord, that you will experience the nearness of God, and you will make, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. He said, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, please, notice this. I wanted to read verse chapter 20, chapter 56, but I won't read it now because of time. We have spent quite a bit of time reading this. But if you go and read that, chapter 56, God explains something. No matter what you are experiencing, he said in verse 1, if you preserve justice and do righteousness, all right, if you will experience the salvation of God as about to come. He said, no matter what you have experienced, in verse 3, he said, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. He said that all they need to do, in verse 4, is to keep my Sabbath and choose that which pleases me and hold fast my covenant. Let me read that again. He said, all you need to do is to keep my Sabbath, choose that which pleases me and hold fast my covenant. If you do that, I will give in my house to you and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. Now, I don't want to spend time reading that. Okay, I just rushed through it. Okay, open your Bibles also to the book of Matthew chapter 25. If you read from verse 31, it says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. Now, in verse 34, it says, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? Because I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, you visited me. In prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Because they'll be surprised. They never met him. They never fed him. Or thirsty, and we gave you drink. And when did we see you as a stranger and invited you in? Or naked? When did we find you naked, and when did we clothe you? Now, he said all of this, and then verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will now speak to the accursed one in verse 41, and the story will be turned around. That is, he will tell them, depart from me, I don't know you. And they will say, how come you are talking to us like this? You say, because you did not give me help when I needed it. And then the answer will be, when was it that we ever saw you that we didn't give you help? And then he will say the same thing to them. Verse 45, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Now, those are the scripture I wanted to read. And I think I have finished with that. I can now begin to say the things I want to say. Now, as you know, this whole year we have been dealing with what? Faith basics. The fundamentals of faith. It is interesting, all right, that we still have to be talking about these things these days. Of course, it's very important because generally in the body of Christ, we seem to have deviated from the basics. We don't even know where the foundation is anymore. So let's rediscover our foundations, stick with them, and all other things will be added onto us. The fact is that, and that's what I've been trying to teach to believers, if you learn the basic things of Christianity, you do those things that are right. Do you understand my point? You will find out that the deeper and harder things will come to you easily. My best example all the time that I like to give is a matter of walking in the will of God and discovering the will of God. It is not difficult. It is not difficult at all. And listen to me, you don't have to learn any hard method. Just do the things that are right and do them all the time. And when the time comes for you to do the things that are not commonly known, if you have followed God all the time in the integrity of your heart, God will lead you in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. Are you getting my point? Settling down and learning methods on how to discover the will of God and all of that is not necessary. If you will walk by the one that is recorded, the one that everybody can easily perceive, if you walk by those ones, you will not have any problem at all when the difficult things are supposed to come. The problem with people is that they don't want to walk by the simple and basic and everyday one. Then they want to suddenly hear God. When should I move to Abuja or move down to Kotangora? They don't know. There are five people that want to marry me. Which one do I marry? Should I marry? That's when they now want to find out. That's where problems begin. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? If we stick with the foundational things and work with them every day, we'll discover that the harder ones will come, they become easy for us. I hope you understand the point. And so that's what we're trying to do in this Faith Basics series, all right? Now, what I want to talk about today is a matter of fasting. Amen? Fasting, the normal fasting that you know. I just want to put it in purpose, a proper perspective so that we can do what is right, all right? And not just be enjoying ourselves and getting no results. You saw from what we read then, Isaiah chapter 58, the people fasted and got no results. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, they were fasting to get something done and the thing was not being done. But they were good enough to ask questions. Why have you fasted and we have not noticed? I think that Christians will do, and this is what I really want to debunk. I want to try and get us off this. You know, we try to find something that is, let me say, a method to do something. We do that and we expect a result. Let me say, I've been somewhere before and a man said that, look, everybody who has fasted, there's no how God will not bless you more than those who did not fast. And I told myself, that's a lie. Because what he meant is that all those of you have refused to eat for the last 5 days or 7 days. Now it's time for your breakthrough. All right? God is going to reward your hunger. He's going to reward your weakness. He's going to reward the bowing down of the head like he read, like Isaiah was saying there. He's going to reward it. There was a time some people said that to get real breakthrough, they were counting days. If you fast for 20 days, you'll get level 1 breakthrough. If you fast for 40 days, you'll get level 2. But those who are really going to break the breaking through and break through with mighty force through the walls of Jericho, they are the ones that will complete a longer one, all right? I know, may God give you understanding so that you will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I heard those things, then they told me who said it. I didn't give a damn who said it. I said it's not true. Now, this was more than 10 years ago. I told the people it's not true. God can never allocate blessing by counting the number of hunger days. He doesn't do that. No, some things are not just Christianity. I wish you get the point. You know, there are things you will hear. All right? Like they say that the doctor says if you want to get healed, you should only take your medicine facing the east. You know there is not a doctor that said it. I don't know what I'm saying. You don't even have to argue whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense. That a doctor told you that the key to removing this lump that's inside your stomach is that this tablet he has given you can only be taken facing the east. You will know that guy is not a medical doctor. Doctors normally give time of the day and quantity. This medicine shall be taken 3 tablets, morning, afternoon, and night. It is not part of medical knowledge and medical jurisdiction. Pardon my... to start saying, you take your medicine, all right, facing the east or the west or the south or the north. So there are things you just hear. You say, this is not Christianity. So if a man tells me that God says the number of days of fasting that he used to allocate blessing, I say, that's not Christianity. You have added something to it that he could not have said. Let me say it to you again. Don't be carried away by God said. There's a prophet God sent somewhere and God said to him, don't do this. All right? And a man told him, God said to me, you should do it. And he did it and God killed him. God didn't care that somebody lied to him. Please, I hope you're getting my point. What am I saying? You must know the kind of things that God will say and the kind of things he will not say. You know, I've told you before, there are times people tell me that God said this, and I tell them in my mind, God doesn't smoke. You know, you can only a man who smokes, all right? And when I say smoke, and I don't mean cigarette too. I mean wee-wee, you understand what I'm saying? Only a man who smokes wee-wee will normally be of this character and then turn tomorrow and say, this is now my new character. Abba. What am I saying? We must understand what really is Christianity. There are things I hear, I just say, this one is not Christianity. I need to explain something here. Now, let me go back to that thing I was saying. Christians often do this, and I've been saying it again and again. I want you to just hear it and learn it. We tend to like to learn methods of doing things. I told you recently, a woman came to me and said, Pastor, explain to me why this has not happened. Do I have prayed for it? And suddenly, I perceive you're a Pentecostal. What I meant is that you have done 5 steps. You're looking for the 6th one. I said, God is not the God of steps. Listen, that's why anytime I want to give you steps and principles, listening one after the other, I always tell you this is banky zone. Do you understand what I mean? It's just my easy way of passing a truth across to you. For example, I'm talking about how to quieten your soul. You understand? I gave like 4 or 5 steps there. And I said, it's just my way of making it easy to communicate. But what we do a lot of times, I want to break God down into steps. That is, this is how, if you want a new car, this is how you do it. It's how much do you earn? It's 100,000. I say, okay, fine. So you will take 10,000 of that. It's not your own. It's your tithe. They take another 10,000 to, it's called value added tithe. And then you will take another 10,000 as a special seed towards the car. Then you shall give the seed. Then in the morning, you shall picture the kind of car that you want. In the afternoon, you shall call it. And at night, you shall imagine that you are sitting inside it. Then you do that for 4 days. By the 15th day, the spare tire will have arrived. Then, now you break it down like that, break it down like, break it down like that. After, you understand my point? Even you know it doesn't work. You've tried it before. If you haven't tried it, say amen. Don't bother. All right? We like it like that. That's Christianity for you. We want to know the method of getting a car. Then we write a book on it, file it, and put it in the shelf. He said, "Ah, bro, Pastor Bank, please, I'd like to buy a car." I said, "Oh, have you read the book on that method?" "No, go and just take the book. You get the car. You understand?" They want to say, "How do I get my healing?" We have another one. "How do I travel abroad?" We have another one. "How do I get promotion?" We have all those steps. All right, that is Buddhism. Do you follow my point? That's not Christianity. I've been telling you again and again. That is not Christianity. Christianity is not a matter of methods. It's a matter of a relationship with somebody who is alive and who has more intelligence than you have. That's why he used to say things like, even though you, wicked by nature, can give good things, all right, to your children, how much more your heavenly Father who is in heaven? Do I have to go through all this method as if he's hard of hearing? Do you get my point? I mean, can't we just say simply and let him understand? Why do I have to use all kinds of methods? Okay, maybe he's angry. Talk to his mother. You know, those kind of funny things. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, listen. You know the kind of God that you are dealing with. All right? Everybody does it. The Catholics have their own dependent. Because they have their own crazy way of doing things. You know, just trying to make God impersonal. As if he doesn't think. He said, how come the man was not accident and he died? He said, that morning God was speaking to him, did not hear. I said, You, assuming that you have a son, he wants to enter a car, he's about to die, you speak, he doesn't hear, what do? You slap him, beat him, tie him up. Do you get my point? God will not make a man die in an accident just because he refused to listen to one instruction one morning, don't enter that car. So now say, do you want to live long? You have to go and learn how to practice to hear the voice of God. So when you want to enter a car that's about to kill you, you will hear it quickly. Say around nonsense. God will deliver me whether I hear a voice or I don't hear a voice. Like I always say, he's alive, he's well. If you're my friend, I love you. And I mean, I know you don't speak Yoruba, and I speak Yoruba, and you are sitting on an Al-Qaeda bomb, going off in 5 minutes. Why should I speak it to a language you don't understand? I will wrestle you off that seat. 5 minutes later, you know why I did it. Are you following what I'm trying to say? This is Christianity. To build a relationship with God. That's what Christianity is. That's what Christianity is. To build a relationship with God. So that he will want to deliver you. Because there are those he doesn't want to deliver. There are those who he wants to send into the trouble, sir. Please, I need to explain this properly. And that's what I'm preaching today. To explain that principle, to that issue of life to us again. Christianity is not about methods, or the word I like to use is our crisis moments. Things to do just in the time of crisis. Christianity is not how you go to church, which church you go to, how you people stand when you pray, or how you sit. That's not what it is. Christianity is not about forms of worship. I talked about the fasted life, right? I will use fasting as an example to explain this thing I'm trying to say properly. People put a lot of emphasis in Christianity on hunger when it comes to improving the potency of prayer. I will first say it goza, you know, in a gozali manner. Just say it point blank so that you can get shocked and then we can explain. As a matter of fact, whether you eat or not has absolutely nothing to do with the potency of your prayer. I like to say it like that. God does not gauge your glucose level before he decides the answer level. He doesn't have a barometer for measuring the fullness of your stomach to check whether your prayers make sense. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. We must get that clear. People will say that if there is a problem, then you go and fast and then you pray and then God will answer. If you go and read that, if you go back to that, don't bother opening to it, we've read it, Isaiah chapter 58, that we read a while ago. God says something. This is a problem with people. They put their energy on what I don't count as important. They want answers. It didn't start today. See, there are very few things that started today. In fact, there's nothing. The only things that start is technology that are changing on the earth. Yes, it's true. Maybe there were no computers years ago. But there's nothing new. This human habit, this religious habit we have today, didn't start today. They were doing that time too. When they wanted to get answers, what they did was to fast, and then they prayed. And to their amazement, God was not responding. And God was saying that this is the problem. He said, for you, a fast is a day. It's a day to do something, a day not to do the other thing. I see all the time, anything you know is right to do, do it. Was it on Tuesday or when was I preaching here? I explained the principle. Okay, it was on Tuesday. That I went to a meeting once and people were talking about women. They're talking about women, how to get your husband to do this and to get your husband to do that. And they said, you see, you cook for him. You speak nicely to him. You kneel down for him. You know what I said? They say hunger is the quickest way to a man's stomach. Sorry. That the stomach is the quickest way to a man's heart. And I qualify the Banking's principle is that's only for a hungry man. If a man is hungry, the quickest way to his stomach is food. If a man is full, the Bible says it clearly. If his soul loses his best food, he doesn't want it. He loses the best food, no matter how good it is. All right? So that's principle of hunger being the quickest way to a man's stomach. Stomach being the quickest way to a man's heart is for hungry people. Amen? I hope you understand it. All right. So I said I was there and the women were talking. They were talking and explaining. And one woman asked the question, what if you have done all of this and still the man does not respond? Then the answers were coming. At that time, I couldn't hold myself anymore. Though I had promised my wife I wouldn't speak, I had to get up to speak in that meeting. And I said, this is a problem with we Christians. I told them like that. We don't give except we want to get. Do you understand my point? We don't respect our husbands and honor him and feed him properly except we want to bribe him and entice him as if he's a devil or something. And so when he doesn't quickly respond, you say the man is hard. Meanwhile, it's a righteous man who has seen beyond your the urukuruku you are trying to do. Do you understand? And I said then to them simply, I said, listen, this is wrong. That's not Christianity. No matter who has preached it to you, all right, it's not Christianity. Why should a woman be submissive to her husband because it is the right thing to do? Why should a woman cook good food for her husband because it is the right thing to do? Do you understand my point? Why should a man love his wife? It's because it is the right thing to do. Are you getting my point? He was saying, if you want your wife to agree to make love to you, you must talk to her sweetly from morning. I said, is it a special sacrifice now that we have to participate in? I said, listen, you talk to a woman nicely all the time to the best of your ability. That's what you're supposed to do all the time. Why? It is the right thing to do. A lot of our gospels are colored by selfishness. We sit down there and we say things that appeal to the soulish and unregenerated human being. Things that are not Christianity. Do you understand my point? It's very common. I've seen people preach about how to raise money for the gospel. They say, always show people what they want to get. That's why you enter and you watch TV. They will say, for your offering this month, we will send you this. If you send this offering, we will send you this. I've read and people have explained to me why they do that. And the person was trying to explain that wish the rest of us should do it. That human beings are like that. They want to see what they are getting for the money they are releasing. I said it is not Christianity to descend to their level. The Christianity as a preacher to rise up and teach them that which is right. That's why virtually every preacher you see on American television is selling something. You've not noticed it. Just tune to TBN. They're not trying to be wicked. They're just, if I'm the one, I stubbornly refuse. I stubbornly refused. If you give an offering of $100, we'll give you this handkerchief. If the offering is $200, we'll make it pure cotton. If the offering is $500, we'll now give you a special plaque. And the reason is because we are trying to appeal to the human flesh that's in Christians. They want to give, you want to show them something that they're going to get. What do you do? They had better learn to receive their reward from God. Are you following what I'm saying? So we fashion gospel that appeal to human flesh, and it's not right. Please get what I'm trying to say. So you see, Christians, we like that thing. We want to tie one result to everything. And what I'm preaching to us today, all right, using that fasting as an example thing, is that most of the time, in fact, apart from baby Christians that God is trying to train, all of the times you profit nothing for all those things. Nothing. 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 Sometimes you get results. It's called coincidence. Literal coincidence. God was going to bless you. The day before, you now jumped up on your left foot. So he blessed you in the afternoon. You now think it is the left foot jumping that morning or the day before. No, really. It happens in medicine. We have that. We have some diseases we call self-limiting disorders. I have a very good example. You know what they call Apollo? Yes, this epidemic viral conjunctivitis. All right? We call it Apollo, commonly. Apollo has 17,225 treatments. I just invented that figure, right? What I mean is that there are all kinds of treatments. You know how each one comes? Depending on what somebody was doing when his own went away. But as a matter of fact, Apollo always goes away after about 7 days. It has nothing to do with your faith. It has nothing to do with your nutrition. It has nothing to do with the medicine you took. Except God wants to punish you specially. That's when your own won't go. But human beings don't know that. You know, wake up in the morning. He said, put salt in water and put it in your eyes. You put it for 2 days. It does not work. Then you change it to sugar. They say, did you put garlic? He said, no, put garlic. On this 5th day, you start putting garlic. On the 6th day, it starts improving. 7th day, it vanishes. Then you start preaching the gospel of garlic, salt, and water. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's what happens. And that's what happens sometimes in Christianity. They say, when you have done this, it doesn't work, try praise. What does that mean? When you praise long enough, it doesn't work, you try worship. If you worship long, it doesn't work, you vex for God. One of them must work. Again, that's not Christianity. So the men will fast, believing that that is how to break the bonds, all right, of whatever affliction they have. And God is saying categorically, that is not true. He said, there are things you are supposed to do. So he said, is my fast a day? The answer is, no, it is not. My fast is a lifestyle. Are you getting my point? God said, verse 6, is this not the fast which I choose? People say, you see, what God is saying is that the day that you are fasting, you must do these things. No. He said that my fast has nothing to do with your hunger. My fast, the fasted life that I have chosen for you is a life, listen, in which you loosen the bonds of wickedness that are coming out of you. He said, my fast is a life, all right, that allows the oppressed go free. He said, if you do all these things, this episodic hunger that you go through will be unnecessary because your recovery, he said, your light will break out like the dawn and your recovery will speedily spring forth. Let me say this to you, which is what I'm trying to preach today. I want Christians to understand that Christianity is not about church. People have tried to tell me several times, if you held this your meetings on Sundays, all right, more people will come. I said, that's the reason why I won't do it on Sunday, because I don't want those who want to go because it's Sunday. If we speak on natural plane, I know as a matter of fact, if I change services, the meetings here, to Sunday morning, of course, that's what we call church, amen? Half of you will first disappear, which is good, it's righteous, you should, all right? Because this guy in Ajaguda, he told us he was not going to do it. Then, 5 times not able that left, we appear. Yes? Unless God just wants to make a point to me, say, Banky, I will show you pepper. Nobody will come. You know, God does that anyway. You all carry some wicked angels around the place. And that people are coming. Ho! Slap somebody. Basically, kai.